Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh in for Chris Broussard. Chris will be back tomorrow. Yes, it is a Trash Talking Tuesday. And we'll get your chance. That's right, to call in and trash anyone in the world of sports. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And TJ, every Tuesday on Deadspin, I trash something or somebody. And today I trashed, did you hear the story about the Cincinnati bar owner who said he wouldn't play any more NBA games because of LeBron James's tweet? You know, you spent years in Cincinnati. That was your spot. And I trashed this guy who thinks that athletes don't have a right to speak up when things that aren't kosher is going on in the country. I mean, how ridiculous and Neanderthal is this?
They're just – I don't get it, man. It's – you speak out, it's a problem. You don't speak out, it's a problem. This is what America is built on, is protesting. And because Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, they stayed out of that. They didn't get into the political debate and things of that nature. And today's athlete is doing that. And I'm assuming this person is older and they just have to understand this is where we at. This is where we are in society today. The athletes that have a platform and a voice are speaking out. But I will say this. When LeBron comes back, the Lakers are going to be the game to watch. He better show them games if he wants his business to thrive. And so I think he'll relent on that real quick.
Hey, I told him we don't want his stale popcorn and flat beer anyway. All right. Cincinnati, there you go. You know, I spent a couple of years in that town. It's a great town to raise a family, you know, right? TJ, would you say that? Like it's easy living in the Midwest.
100%, just, you know, just for my liking, it's a little chilly.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I got you. All right, Julio Jones, there's a situation going on with the Falcons. I guess they have some issues with cap space, and they might not be able to get all that draft picks in because they don't have enough room. So there's talk that now they're going to take phone calls on Julio Jones, who's played tremendously down there, right, TJ? Hall of Famer, right, down there in Atlanta.
Oh, 100% Julio's a Hall of Famer.
Right. He's done everything that you could ask from him, but now they might want his head so that they can get space. Let's hear from the general manager there in Atlanta on Julio Jones.
Well, that's one of those things that when you're doing things the right way in an organization, you have to listen if people call. So on any player, and especially we are in a difficult cap situation. That's just a circumstance, and it's not a surprise for us. We knew the circumstance we're in. Our administration has done an excellent job up to this point, getting us in position to be able to manage the cap, and yet we still have more work to do. So when teams call about any players, then we have to listen and we have to weigh it and we have to determine what's best for the organization and we have to handle everything with class. Obviously, that particular player, we hold him in high regard and he's special what he's done and what he continues to do here. But we have to consider any players if it's right for the team because we have to do what's best for this organization.
TJ, your reaction, you cool with it? This is just football. Woe is me. Oh, well, Julio Jones, pack your bags. We don't care what you've done in Atlanta lately. We're talking about the future, and you're not a part of it. Where are you on this?
You know, it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the first hour, Rob. I truly believe you have to do what's best for the organization. And I was a former player. And ultimately, you understand that you have a job to do. But with Julio being a lifelong, I mean, he got drafted by the Falcons.
Right, he's one of theirs,
tremendous
right.
Things for the Falcons. When you think Atlanta Falcons, you think Julio Jones.
I think choking in the Super Bowl, but that's another story. Go ahead.
Okay. When you think players, you think Julio Jones. And so I get the sentiment of let's let him retire, let's not trade him. But the Falcons are picking fourth for a reason. They're not very good.
Right. They were
so
terrible.
Whether they have Julio
or not, was god awful.
If you can get some assets for a receiver that's 32, for a receiver that I believe had 700 yards, for a receiver the last few years has missed quite a few games, and you can get something for him, and when I say get something for him, I mean a minimum of a second-round draft pick, I believe you have to do it. Now, a second-round draft pick is not going to come in and give you what Julio can give you, but he's going to be cheaper. He's going to be at least 9 to 10 years younger. And so that's something you have to look at. And to be honest with you, Julio might welcome it. He's probably tired of losing. He might welcome it if he can get to a team with a competent quarterback, a team that has a chance to win. And so he might be sitting here like, these people up here feeling sorry for me, and I really want to get up out of here. And so you just don't know.
Yeah, but here's my issue. Why are they in cap hell? Why haven't they taken care of their business so that they don't have to give up a talented player like that in order just to juggle the books? I think that's what bothers me is where's their due diligence? Who's running the books? Are they running the Falcons like a mom-and-pop store? I mean, why are they in this cap hell that they have to give up a commodity, a guy who's been a big part of that organization and for many, many years?
That is when you're in the front office.
I mean, is that fair for me to ask?
Yes, but when you're in the front office, Rob, you almost have to you're playing chess. You have to think 2 to 3 moves ahead, 2 to 3 years ahead. And how are we going to navigate through this? His cap will be this. We're here with our cap as a team. When do we move off of this guy? Do we move a year or two too soon rather than a year or two too late? I mean, there's just so many things that you take into account. Don't look at the age. You look at the production, the injury history, what he can bring to the team. And if he can bring a ton to the team, but the team isn't ready to take that step, do we move player because we're not ready, but we can still get something for player? About time we're ready, the player might be on the back nine, and now we can't get what we could have gotten for him the previous year. And so there's just so much that goes into that. And again, I guarantee Julio's sitting here like, man, if I can get to a team with a nice quarterback, I would welcome this trade. Like, I would want this trade.
So you think that he's ready to move on, that, you know, playing your whole career somewhere doesn't matter, you know, not being able to retire as a Falcon. I mean, it's not like they never won anything. They were in the Super Bowl up 28-3. Should have a Super Bowl ring. He should be king of Atlanta. I mean, for all
he'll
the
still,
ability.
He'll still be there. Let's just, okay.
Now he's just Burger King. I mean, I'm talking about king, as if he won a championship.
You think about this. Name a great player in the last 20 years that has played with one team.
Calvin Johnson, but he did quit prematurely.
8 years.
Yep.
And so if he gets to 11-12 – does he finish with the Detroit Lions?
And I know it's happened for quarterbacks. Look at all the quarterbacks. They all wind up. Tom Brady had to move on.
And that's
Peyton,
my point.
Manning moved on. Joe Montana moved on.
Come
right.
on, man.
So you're just saying this is the business. You got to man up and face it. You played a long time in Cincinnati. How many years were you there before you moved on?
None. And this is the thing, though. Like, before I left Cincinnati, I was so ready to go. Like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get out of here.
But that was only because you had a couple of bad Coney dogs when you were there,
No,
right?
You know what's funny? I never even tried them.
Never tried one in Cincinnati?
Never. All the years I was there. Never, ever, ever.
And people from Cincinnati tried to get you to try them, didn't they?
Yes. I never had that nor the Waffle House. And then when I left Cincinnati and I tried the Waffle House, I said to myself, I've cheated myself this whole time. Never had it, and I love it now.
The Waffle House, right.
But if you just think about that. Oh, that's what when I left, I was excited. And then when I got there, I regretted it.
Did you really? Why did you regret it? Were you like, this didn't feel like where you should be?
It was just different, Rob. Like, it was different to the point of, and we had some success in Cincinnati. But when I tell you, the coach, like, we were prepared. We were ready. Like, we went off. We probably were over-prepared. We had too much information. Like, I got to Seattle, and, like, for instance, we'd have a play. They'd call a play, and I'd say, how are we running this in single high coverage? If it's cover one or cover three. If it's too high coverage, whether it's two man, cover two, cover four, invert, whatever it may be, how do we want? Because in Cincinnati, it was, if it's these coverages, this is the way the quarterback expects you to run the route. I got this. And we went over all those coverages, and we had to understand how we would run the route. So me and the quarterback would be on this. I got to Seattle. It was like, hey, when we get this coverage, how you want to run around? No, just get open. I'm like, get open?
Get open. And, who was the coach back then?
I'm not even going to put the OC on blast like that, but y'all can look it up yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, wow. I needed that structure of being on the same page with the quarterback. I needed that we see the same movie from the same lens. And that wasn't the case. And so ultimately, when you go from one team to another after you've been there for so long, ultimately there's only one thing that matters, man, and it's football. But we as players, we put other things into the picture that matter when it really should just be football. But I learned it the hard way. You can't go back and change it. And I no lie, man, I called the coaches when I was in Seattle, and I straight up told them, I said, man, I really miss you guys. Like, I said some things, or I might have done some things, but you guys are great coaches. I never told you that, but being here, I realized how good of coaches I had there.
Wow. How did they take that? Were they flattered?
They were appreciative of that because, you know, I'm not the type of guy that that says those type of things. But
I was going to say, that seems like that wouldn't come out of your mouth, but you really, it was that truth. Stark to you, right?
Yeah, it was the truth. Like, I learned a lot of football from our offensive coaches with the Bengals. Like, they taught us football, and we were very well prepared on what the defense would try to do. And like I say, when I went to Seattle, that wasn't the case.
So do you think Julio – so your estimation is Julio will welcome this. He's not going to be bummed out.
Oh, I'm not saying
he's not going to be
welcome.
Mad.
I don't know how he feels, but if he could get to a better situation football-wise, 100% he would welcome it, because – he's going to be playing in meaningful football games. Those little knickknacks that are bothering you when you're 4-7, they're not bothering you as much when you're 8-3 or 7-4. Now you fight through those.
Right.
You're willing to play through those type of things. But when you see there's no light at the end of the tunnel, there's no playoffs, it's, oh, no, I can't go this week. But when you have a chance, you'll fight through those things. And so – that's just what it is. Whether he's in that state of mind, I don't know. But I could imagine he's probably has some teams, like, if I can get here, they're going to see vintage Julio. And so that could be the case.
All right, we want to hear from you. Should the Falcons have any loyalty towards Julio Jones? And do you think we might or do you think he might welcome a change of scenery at this point in his career? 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We'll continue this conversation with you next. It is The Odd Couple with TJ Houshmandzadeh in for Chris Broussard and Rob Parker right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh, in for Chris Broussard. Chris will be back tomorrow. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday. That's coming up in the final hour of the program. But we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And TJ, AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com today and start your job fast. Get into the zone, AutoZone. Our telephone number, 877-99 on Fox. Talking about Julio Jones, who's on the chopping block, whatever you want to call it. The Falcons have said yes. They are talking to people, taking phone calls. Do they owe him any loyalty, or this is just business and he has to put on his big boy pants, pack his bags, and move on? I know people want to chime in, TJ. Let's do it. 877-99 on Fox.
Let's get right into it. We got Derek in the ATL. Your stomping grounds and what we talking about. Talk to us.
Yeah, fellas, I personally want to see them one last hurrah with Julio. I think they wasted both him and Matt Ryan by putting them in offensive systems which didn't maximize their talents. They were most successful, of course, in the Shanahan years, but a lot of people don't realize this. But when Shanahan left, there was a guy in our building who I can't understand for the life of me why they didn't make him the OC, who was Matt LaFleur. They didn't make him the OC. He left and went to Tennessee. Of course, now he's the Green Bay coach and running that Shanahan system. And from what I understand, Arthur Smith, our new coach, has a lot of the same concepts. He's committed to running the ball. And I think Matt Ryan, Flourish, and Julio in the system was a zone blocking system, and they committed to the run. So I really want to see just one last year with Julio. I know we're going to have to let him go at some point, but I'm hoping that they keep him around just one more year. He's been the consummate pro, always been, you know, productive. So I'm hoping that we have one last chance to try to get the best out of him and Matt to try to make a one last push, man. That's what I'm hoping.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Makes sense if they can win, but you never know. They defensively,
yeah. Whew,
they have a long way. They have way to go.
It is so bad. I mean, how many games did they give up last year, TJ? Late
how
in
many
the game.
Games didn't they give up would probably be the better question.
Right, you're right. It was so bad. 877-99 on Fox if you want to jump in.
Keith in the Bayou in New Orleans, talk to us.
TJ, Uncle Rob, how y'all feeling tonight, fellas?
Man, we're doing great on a Trash Talking Tuesday. Are you kidding?
Yes, sir. It's my favorite topic, the Trash Talk the Falcons, man. But listen, on a serious tip, Terry Fontenot, who they got from the Saints organization, was our director of college scouting. The guy knows his stuff, man. The guy was the architect of the 2017 draft where we hit on everybody. I think that he believes he can get another Julio style player. Kyle Pitts to be there for, Jamar Chase to be there for. He can trade back and get Terrence Marshall from LSU, who's a stud. TJ knows about him. So I think they got guys they can get some value for in the draft. I mean, he's aging. He's aging. He's not old, but he's getting older. He's still very productive. You can get something for him, move him, you know? So, hey, get him out of my division, man. I won't miss my promise to that.
All right.
Know, I think if they find a way to move Julio, then I would almost bet they take Jamar Chase with the fourth pick.
You think so?
If they do that, yeah, him or it would have to be him or Pitts. But you're losing Julio. Do you bring in Pitts, who is not a receiver but can play like one, but he's a tight end? It would be one of those two guys, and so that to me would be if they draft one of those two guys, Julio's going to be moved. That's just the assumption that I would make if they did go in that direction. But who knows? Marty in Kentucky, what say you?
What up, Marty?
What's going on, Rob? How you doing, TJ? It's good to talk to you this Trash Talking Tuesday.
No doubt. I saw that video. I saw that video of River in his Little League uniform. What is that, T-ball he's playing?
Well, it's peanut. They throw three pitches, and then after that, they get to hit off the tee. But he doesn't plan on hit off the tee any. He's pretty confident.
Oh, very nice. I saw him. Very nice. And what he had a red uniform on, right?
Yeah. You know he loves that red.
I know. I got him the red Jordans. I know he loves red, definitely.
Yeah, now he's got some red Jordans and some red Mike Trout. But
very nice.
Guys, if you remember that, the movie Blue, You're My Boy.
That's a famous drop. Hey, Blue, you're my boy. We got that, don't we?
Yeah. Well, people call me Blue at work and a lot of places. And it took years to live that down, not totally. And I got to ask TJ, how many years did it take to live down the How's Mozilla commercial?
Oh, man. You know what's funny? I've always thought it was funny. I never so live it down. It never bothered me.
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah.
One, it never bothered me.
For people who don't know, can you explain it, TJ, the commercial?
I believe it was 05,
Fantasy
06.
Football.
Yeah, I don't remember the year, but obviously with my name being as long as it is.
Do people have a problem with your name? I think you have an unusual name, but it's easy to say. I've never had an issue with Hushman
Zada. No, it was a compliment.
You know
there
what
was
it is?
Guy
it's so many letters.
Yeah, the player on the commercial. I'm sorry, TJ, you go ahead.
No, you got it. It's you. You go ahead.
Well, the fantasy football player on the commercial, you know, he wanted to pick TJ, and he couldn't pronounce his name. So he just jumps up, and he's got an early pick, and he's like, TJ, how's Mozilla? Who's Mozilla? And he says it like three or four times wrong, and then everybody looks at him, and he's just like, championship. And it was a great commercial. It was hilarious. I know that TJ's probably heard that for years.
Oh, I still hear it.
It was a compliment to the skilled player he was. And trust me, as a Pittsburgh fan, and I got screamed out of Paul Brown many a times. I respected your game. And, guys, on the Julio subject, I wouldn't take it.
In the backyard and didn't even cheer for the Bengals. In the backyard, right across the bridge. Wow.
Right across the 471 bridge. Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, TJ. I grew up a Steelers fan out here in West Kentucky. We really didn't have a team close to us. But Julio, if I'm Julio, I don't take it as an insult. There's still teams that want you at that age, and you're a wide receiver. It shows you're talented. I think that Atlanta went all in on him, and it didn't work out during his prime. And if they can still get something out of him, they want to, because they probably feel in that competitive of a division, they don't have time in his window to do something with him, and another team might be able to give an opportunity to get a ring.
All right. Hey, Marty, that's fair. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, TJ, we have a two-time NFL mock draft champion coming up. Most of the time, guys are swinging and misses on the draft. Here's the guy who's won it twice. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And now this is a guy I'm interested in talking to, Ben Standig, who is with The Athletic. He's an NFL reporter and is a two-time NFL mock draft champion. And Ben has been the most accurate mock draft guy in 2019, 2012, and in the last 5 years, he's the third most accurate mock drafter in all of the sports media, which is amazing. Ben, welcome to The Odd Couple. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys talking me up. None of that, nothing you said works in bars, so I recall, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
Hey, Ben, nope. Let them know.
Let them know. I'm a draft picker.
You getting them this year, too. You getting them this year, too.
And, Ben, are you married or single?
I am single, hence the potential dating at a bar joke. Otherwise, I wouldn't
exactly. Okay, I just wanted to make sure before I went where I'm going. And then say, hey, baby, I can pick the winners. I can pick the top draft choice. And you're a top draft choice right here. All right. Maybe that was
you know what? I've done worse.
Yeah, that was my pickup line. That's why I'm divorced now. Anyway, Ben, how do you do it? Because I'm always – I look at these guys. I'm serious. half with my eyes half closed because I think it's a crapshoot. A lot of guys, they say so much, talk about it on the NFL, tell everybody how much film they watch, and then the numbers come in and they're not that good. How have you been able to be the third most accurate guy out there? What do you do that's different?
Well, I mean, you know, first and foremost, it's an incredible amount of luck because all it takes is one pick to go haywire, and you know, especially early in the draft, and all of a sudden you're in a bad way. And then also, you know, you got to do homework, and that comes from reading the national, you know, a lot of the national pundits out there and the websites that really dedicate their time to studying the tape and giving you a sense of that. When I first won it, I was a literal, you know, nobody who just happened to be writing for a fantasy football website and had, you know, didn't even know how to spell contact, let alone have any. Excuse me. But now that I'm covering the Washington football team for The Athletic, and now I do have some sources, I am able to talk to some people around the league, and that can help in times. It's also a bit confusing.
Oh, so you're really about to kill him this year, then? You're really going to kill him?
Well, we'll see. Like I said, sometimes it can get a bit much because you have different people. You know, it's one thing to be in my own head, but now I have a lot of people living in there. I have to determine, are they giving me the straight truth? Is there some fiction to what they're saying for whatever their reasons are? And that makes it interesting. But on top of all that, this year in particular, for all the reasons that are obvious, the pandemic, the limited college season, no combine, all these things. Everybody around the league is saying, and I think they mean it sincerely, that this is going to be almost impossible to really kind of figure out what's going to happen because so many people have very different evaluations on players, even more so than normal, I think.
With you covering the Washington football team, where do you think they go with their pick? Do they go quarterback, defensively? They seem to be set. So where, because you should be tied in, where do you think the Washington football team looks with their first pick?
Well, if we had done this interview at 9 o'clock this morning, I would have said that at the moment my projection would have been USC offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker. Washington really could use an upgrade on the left side of their offensive line. Yeah, ideally it's a tackle, but Vera Tucker, I think, has a good chance to be there, and I feel confident that they like him. But, yeah, today then, of course, Washington makes a trade for Ereck Flowers, so that seems to take off this specific player off my board, since I think Virginia Tech offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw will be gone before Washington picks. I'm now kind of looking at some of the linebackers, guys like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah or Jamin Davis from Kentucky, different types of players. But I think linebacker is the defensive position Washington needs the most help, and I think either one of those guys could be a good fit if they're available.
Ben, what do you make of what the 49ers are doing and how they're smarter than everybody and they moved up in the draft and they claim they don't know who they're picking? Who'd you move up for then if you claim you don't know who you're going to pick, and who will they pick, do you think?
Yeah, no, it was a fascinating press conference yesterday with Kyle Shanahan. Really just couldn't care less what anybody really wanted to ask. But I think there was a couple things he said in there that seemed to me to indicate that, you know, they were open to Mac Jones. That's where they started. He said that they've now, you know, having taken a longer look, are open to all five quarterbacks. But there was some question that somebody had about what do you tell fans who are feeling anxious about this pick? And he basically said, I believe he said something like, you know, I wish I could tell them to not be anxious. If you like the player at 12, you should also like him at 3. And I'm going to guess that Mac Jones remains the answer. If Kyle Shanahan wants it, I think he's going to get it. And, you know, I haven't heard from anybody saying it would be somebody else. I think Trey Lance would make a lot of sense, but my guess would be Mac Jones at this point.
They draft Mac Jones. Nobody talks about his inexperience. He hasn't started many games at all, but because he played at Alabama and the SEC, I guess that experience doesn't matter. Who knows? If they draft Mac Jones, which everyone believes they will, is Jimmy G still on the roster in September?
It's a great question. I mean, based on what the way Kyle Shanahan talked about it yesterday, I would guess no. You know, this idea of, you know, asked if he's going to be, would Garoppolo be on the roster Sunday? And Shanahan's answer was, I don't know if any of us will be alive by Sunday, was pretty dark. And seems fairly telling to not even give any close – to not even pretend to give a commitment to him, which I think is kind of weird. Like, I understand there's reasons to move on from Garoppolo over time, but the 49ers, I would imagine, have to think that they're a contender in the NFC. In the NFC, they won the conference in 2019. Injuries ruined them last year. You know, I just don't see how they think, just for next year, how they think any rookie would help them more than Garoppolo, whose biggest issue has been health, you know, more than playing. So it would be odd to me if they were to move on and just immediately go to the rookie, or no matter who it was. But it does kind of feel that, like, it's headed in that direction based on the way Shanahan talked yesterday.
And, Ben, last thing, do the Patriots, do they draft a quarterback or not in the first round?
Yeah, it's a big, great question. I mean, it feels like they've obviously been incredibly aggressive this offseason. And, you know, with where they're at and the way the board is at 15, they're not that far away from jumping inside the top 10 to make that kind of move to get a quarterback, whether it's Lance or Justin Fields. That seems like a pretty reasonable move. But it's also a very anti-Belichick kind of move. He's not that guy typically. So, you know, I'm sort of torn in my mock drafts. I don't typically like to project trades, but this year I probably will. And the Patriots going up to 7 to the Lions makes all kinds of sense. I don't know if they'll pull it off, but I probably am going to lean that way just because it feels like it makes too much sense.
All right. His name is Ben Standig. Great information. He covers the Washington football team, NFL reporter for The Athletic. 2-time NFL mock draft champion. Hey, Ben, we appreciate the knowledge. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate
you being.
Yep, no doubt. All right. The fight nobody asked for is coming to pay-per-view. Get ready, TJ. We'll get into that next. It is The Odd Couple with TJ Houshmandzadeh in for Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. It is Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay.
Salt and pepper parlay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio, Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh on a Trash Talking Tuesday, which is about an hour away. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Chris Broussard will return tomorrow from his vacay. TJ, we got a little boxing news. Rob G, this just came down. He's going to break down the details. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not happy about it.
That's right, Rob. The fight America has been waiting for. Floyd Money Mayweather will take on internet personality Logan Paul June 6th at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida, live on Showtime pay-per-view. Yay.
TJ, come on. This is a mockery of boxing. Why is Floyd Mayweather doing this? Just another money grab. My God.
Because the people are going to pay to watch it. The crazy part is, I mean, Floyd's going to win the fight. But when you – Floyd is not big at all, man. Like, he's not a big dude. So the size disparity will be huge. 30, 40 pounds, probably 6 inches in height. That's a huge difference. But Floyd been doing this his whole life. I mean, he's been fighting his entire life. And so, depending on how many rounds they go, Floyd's going to tire him out, jab him to the body. He's going to wear him out. He'll probably knock him out in later rounds, but it doesn't matter. Oh, he's too small. Little six-year-old, I got a six-year-old son. If he punches me in my face hard, it hurts.
Right.
So you best believe when a grown man punches you in the face, it's going to hurt.
Well, TJ, I'm glad you brought up the size because so far, I mean, details are still coming out, but one of these stipulations that has been confirmed is there is a fight limit for each guy. Floyd cannot
weigh-in limit.
Yes.
Not a fight. Not,
yes, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Weigh-in limit. Floyd cannot weigh in more, excuse me, for the weigh-in, more than 160 pounds. Logan Paul cannot weigh in more than 190. And you were right on. Logan Paul listed at 6'2", which is six inches taller than Floyd Mayweather.
And Mayweather's never fought higher than 151 pounds ever in his professional career. So I would assume he's going to come in about 155 max.
But this is Showtime doing this and taking part in this chicanery and tomfoolery. It's just, this is not boxing. This is what's ruined boxing. And TJ, I was a kid. I don't want to sound like that old guy. Hey, you kids, get off the lawn.
You really think it's ruining boxing?
Yes. You know why?
It's bringing eyes in different, a different demographic to boxing because of the Paul brothers and their YouTube following and
following. But they have not fought and done what you're supposed to do. There are no sanctioning bodies. Anybody can make a fight if somebody wants to see it. That's not boxing. And here's the other part. The pay-per-view has ruined boxing. When I was a kid, I used to listen to fights on the radio.
I used to watch it on Channel 7.
Yes, used to watch it on ABC, Wide World of Sports on a Saturday. Yeah, I watched Muhammad Ali fight. And now, TJ, your kids, all these kids have grown up not seeing it because everything is pay-per-view. Everything starts 9 p.m. Starts midnight Eastern. So most kids grow up not watching boxing. That's why boxing, being the heavyweight champ or being an undefeated champ, money-wise for those guys is great for the two or three guys who are making all the money. But I'm talking about the legacy in the sport of boxing has been trampled by pay-per-view, trampled by these boxers.
Promoters don't promote anymore. If promoters promoted... I mean, you're a promoter. Your job is to promote. But what has happened is they get the licensing fees from Showtime or whomever. And it was HBO would give a licensing fee. Showtime will give you a license. So they didn't have to promote because right out the gate, they're getting these license fees. So they didn't have to put money in to promote the guys and the sport of boxing.
Right. They cut out the promoter, the middleman. And it's now they go straight to Floyd. Floyd makes all the money. There's nobody else. And they broker a deal. But I'm just saying, like, the
sport
itself.
But also, if the best fought the best, would we – if the best fighters today, if they fought each other, would anybody care to watch Floyd and Logan Paul fight? If Terrence Crawford fought Errol
Spence. People love a train wreck. And what I'm saying is Showtime is legitimizing it. It's one thing if you want to do it on some – pay-per-view thing and rip people off for $50. I'd rather go to the top of the U.S. Bank building and throw off $50 than
Are you a big boxing fan?
I won't
fan?
Watch it. I used to cover boxing. I love boxing back in the 90s at
best,
the free press.
The best need to fight. Canelo needs to fight David
They don't
Benavidez
fight each other. They don't do
Charlo.
That.
Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford need to fight. Tank
but,
Davis
but all these people will
and Tiafimo
will legitimize
and
it.
Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, those guys need to fight. If the best fight the best, then I don't believe people care about that because the best aren't fighting the best. The promoters don't promote. This is what you get.
It's a money grab. It's a shame that people, the lowest common denominator, just to watch a train wreck, and make this, but
Floyd and
is a real. But Floyd is a real boxer. What is he doing getting in the ring with this guy? Seriously,
it's beneath him. He gonna make a nice buck while in the process.
How much do you need?
Rob, I got a quick question for you because I know that you're big on the integrity of boxing. The last Jake Paul fight, the one a couple weeks ago, made allegedly, reportedly, $75 million in pay per view sales, which would be the highest grossing fight in boxing in several years. So if this one does, I'm assuming at least 100 million, maybe
it'll do
100
double. Million. Yeah.
You know, is this a bad thing for the sport if something
yes.
like this
no,
happens?
No, it's
because
not.
Yes,
it's not.
You know what it is? This will set up the future where these kind of fights will matter more, Rob G, than real fights because that's where we are. All right, we don't
prize
have time.
Fighters fight for a prize.
It is the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. The final hour is coming up. Stick and stay.
America!